You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, I want to talk just a little bit. You know, one of the things we like to do here, Keith, is brag on our audience. Our audience is the most engaged, most perceptive, most loyal, most intelligent, best looking, help
most
me out.
Most eloquent.
There you go. And so much more. We just don't have the time. Humble, yeah, humble and polite, appreciative, insightful, dedicated.
Beautiful.
Well, we already said that, but that's worth saying twice. But anyway, no, they really are. And not to mention charming.
And vigorous. Same gives our vigor score, you know, boosts the whole thing up.
Well manicured. We could go on, but the show must go on. No, we love our audience. Our audience is not an audience. They're not fans. They may be fans, but they're not fans. They're our family. And we love our audience. And Keith, you may not remember this, but one time and one time only, a few years ago, it was your birthday. And you asked me to post a picture of you when you were 6 years old.
Right.
And so,
first grade picture.
All right. So one time and one time only, a few years ago, it was Keith's birthday. So on our blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org, we posted a picture of Keith's first grade yearbook, I guess you would say. And Keith's wearing this bomber jacket. He's got glasses.
I look like the prototype of Ralphie in A Christmas Story.
You look very much, you can tell it's you, though. I mean, you look older now, obviously, but there's no mistaking that that's you. Well, anyway, we posted that one time just that year to say, hey, it's Keith's birthday, everybody, send him a well wish or whatever, and we posted that picture. Well, we've been on Twitter for about 36 hours now, and one of our listeners has put up that picture. And they said, well, now that James is on Twitter, when's Keith going to get on Twitter? Now we got to get Keith on Twitter. We posted that picture one time years ago, and our audience is so engaged that they found it and said, hey, when's Keith going to get on there? One of the others said, well, James is on Twitter finally, and in 2020 he'll be on Snapchat. Don't count on that. I don't even know what Snapchat is, but I'll tell you. Keith, I'll give you a little secret. We talk about being a little behind the curve when it comes to our social media presence and
airing dirty.
We do AM radio. We're AM radio hosts, okay? So that's not our primary platform. But Keith, radio was the first Twitter anyway, right? But we're going to compliment what we do here on Twitter. We're going to build it up. And thanks to everyone who's followed us so far. Keep those follows coming, folks. We don't want to be embarrassed. James Edwards TPC at James Edwards TPC. Keith does not even have the internet at his house. All right.
I have it at the office. But on the other hand, if I got on Twitter, I'd probably crash the entire system. I have a talent for doing things like
that.
Keith,
you're not going to believe what they're writing about us in the New York Times this week or what the Washington Post said about us today. He goes, okay, let me get in the car and go to the office. I'll go read it. So this is where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. We consider it a victory to be able to send and receive emails. But we do have a website, which is updated every day. I do know how to maintain my own website. The political. Well, actually, we have a team that does that for us, but I go on there from time to time and blog. But we do have fresh blog entries every day, but we're on Twitter, and I am trying to personally manage that. My OCD's kicking in. And so we used to have the chat. Remember, the Council of Conservative Citizens used to do a chat for us, and every Saturday during the show, we'd go in the chat room. The chat was a little limited. It had a ceiling of about 100 people or 75 people. It could only handle so many people in this particular chat. And we'd fill the chat room, and then nobody else could get in. But if you want to send us a message or a little comment on Twitter, we'll read those throughout the show. This is our first night on Twitter, so we're going a little bit we're being a little bit repetitive because we want to let you know that we're there. And we want to remind you that we're there. It's brand new to us, so it's brand new to you, too. But if you want to send us a message on Twitter or a question or a comment, you got to follow us and follow Donald And we will try to read a few of those. We've been doing that tonight. We'll try to read that. I actually have the Twitter account pulled up here at the radio station, so we'll monitor that. Somebody just sent me an action figure of Sonny Landham. Sonny, we got to get Sonny back on the show. You know, Sonny's a great personal friend. He was our keynote speaker at our kickoff party back in 2004, and Sonny...
Sonny's going to pass, and we're going to be kicking ourselves that we haven't had him on more often.
Well, he's been on a lot.
He's a lot of fun every time he's on.
He's our most colorful guest. I will give him that. And
that's saying something.
Yes, we do need to have another reunion, and we need to have Sonny come down, and we should definitely do that. Sonny, you remember him from Predator. He was the Indian tracker in Predator. He's the last one that the Predator kills before Arnold takes out the Predator. So he was in a lot of the action movies in the 80s. Sonny's a great guy. I actually talked to Sonny when I was driving through Kentucky. Sonny lives in Kentucky. I called Sonny when I was driving through Kentucky on my way to Cleveland for the Republican National Convention. He's just a great personal friend, always calling to check on my wife and the kids and my parents, and he's just become like family, like our audience has. But anyway, so they want you to get on Twitter, but I think first we got to get the internet at your house before that's even going to be remotely possible.
I tell you, before I lose a thought, you know, we need to, on that hosting part of our website, it has the host down, need to replace the Davy Crockett, which is supposed to be me, and maybe put that old picture up there.
There you go. Yeah. That's right. So if what Keith's talking about is on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We've got the staff page, and we have a picture of Davy Crockett subbed in for a picture of Keith, because Keith obviously can't email me a picture because, well, we know why. And so without being able to have a digital picture of Keith that we could post, we just found a picture of Davy Crockett.
Because that used to be one of my trademarks. I did a...
Well, you and Davy have a lot of politics in common, right?
And I had a program that we did on Davy Crockett that is still, if you Google Davy Crockett, that program, that YouTube will come up.
And y'all were there.
Yeah.
And y'all were at the Alamo. You're the last surviving belligerent from the Alamo.
In fact, I remember that fateful morning when the Santa Ana's army was lined up on the horizon. Davy Crockett turned to me and said, "I didn't know we were pouring concrete this morning."
Okay. Well, that's going to be a news story next week. I can tell you that already. Well, we set him up for that one, didn't we, ladies and gentlemen? But anyway.
You didn't know you are.
At James Edwards, TPC. That's the Twitter. Let's see. What else before we get back down to business? We should get down to business. I guess I should remind you that Jared Taylor is on deck. He'll be with us for the third hour tonight. He's going to talk about Donald Trump and the so-called atmosphere of hate, how the media has been treating the Trump campaign. We'll put that into words. Oh, Keith, we had an email come in. Let's answer this very quickly because we really don't have enough time in this segment to get into anything fresh. We'll get back to business in the next segment. But a listener in the North is homeschooling his child, and he wants to know a factual book about the war between the states, a.k.a. Lincoln's War, that won't just talk about this slavery nonsense and the South was... were the villains nonsense. A good factual, fact-based, historically accurate book on the war between the states.
Well, it's actually a pulp book. It's like a tabloid thing. It's called The Uncivil War by Mike Scruggs. You can get it. It's only like $7.95, $8.95, something like that, under $10. It has the best breakdown of the real causes of the Civil War that you'll find anywhere, and it is all well documented and footnoted.
All right, folks, send us an email. Follow us on Twitter. Send us a tweet. We might read it on air. We'll see. At James Edwards TPC. We're getting back to work after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's LibertyNewsRadio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained, we teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay. Last week during the second hour, we don't ever have a script. We're always live, unrehearsed, and uncensored on this program. We don't even... I mean, we have a general idea of what we want to talk about, but we never read from
a script
or anything like that. But last week, I spent a little more time than I had intended to talking about my family, because my family was attacked along with me in a barrage of news articles that had come out a few days ago. And I wondered last week when I was talking about it if it was just a little too much. But, you know, we always want to share who we are with our audience, and we want to be very real and very raw. And I think that's one of the things.
Transparent.
Absolutely. Great word. Transparent with our audience. And I think that's one of the things that's endeared us to our audience and vice versa. And I think it's really one of the ties that binds, that makes this show so special. And I got an email. I really got a lot of comments about last week's second hour, but one from Doug in Kingston, Ohio, stood out. James, I was just now able to listen to last week's show in the archives. You absolutely killed it in hour two. I, too, met my wife at church. I was a sophomore in college. She was younger, she is gorgeous, and she loves our Lord with unmatched devotion. She has blessed me with our two beautiful children, 12 and 9, and we celebrate our 19th wedding anniversary next week. So blessed. Your words about your relationship with your wife reminded me so much of my relationship with mine. It was a delight to listen to your story. Your show is an inspiration to so many. I can't stress enough how much it means to so many of us throughout this land, keeping you in my prayers as you stand for truth with a capital T. God bless you and your staff. Keep up the great work. Doug in Kingston, Ohio, who writes that he is a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, and little did I know that Ohio, Doug informed me of this, produced 6 Confederate generals. You wouldn't have guessed that, but they did.
And guess where the cemetery is in America that has the second largest number of Civil War generals buried in it? It's here in Memphis, Elmwood Cemetery.
Well, I knew that.
Where a Okay.
Well, I knew that because we talk about it. But other people, perhaps Doug, didn't. But I also want to give a quick, what's the first one?
Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond.
Ah, there you go. Wanted to say a quick hello to Dawn in Florida and Kelly in Nashville for sending me two great handwritten notes. You know, we get these handwritten cards every week, and those still mean a lot, especially for old-fashioned guys like us when it comes to the technological
ones stuff. I can access, right?
If you want to get a hold of Keith, you better send him a note or a carrier pigeon.
A smoke signal or something.
Okay, seriously, let's get back to it now. But I did want to say that because that meant a lot, because last week's second hour was very personal, and I'm glad that it went over well with all of you. So I want to quickly wrap up about the campaign or observations from the campaign. If Trump loses, now, number one, the polls don't look good. I have said for a long time I thought that Trump would win and that he would win handily. I'm not backtracking that at all. Even if I'm wrong, I wouldn't be more wrong than Dick Morris, who said the night before the 2012 elections that Mitt Romney was going to win big. That was just a day before. Although Morris was honest enough to say that the reason he lost was because he didn't get enough of the white vote out.
Well, Mitt Romney is never going to do anything big, okay?
Except Tuck.
Yeah, right.
But so the polls aren't that good for Donald right now, if you believe them. Still a lot of time to turn it around. If he can be the Donald Trump we saw in Detroit when he gave that economic speech, this thing is still his to lose. And don't forget that these debates, he's got three debates with Hillary Clinton coming up. Now, the media is going to treat it one way, and the rest of us will see it the way it really is. But that first debate especially could get 100 million viewers. He could still win or lose this thing entirely based upon his performance in these debates. So this
or
thing,
her lack of performance. She could have one of these what I think would happen, James, is that there's going to be a meltdown, possibly, of Hillary.
Well, and this is another thing that we posted on our website this week. I saw Sean Hannity did a segment on it very similarly, but we picked it up from Paul Joseph Watson, I believe. We reposted a video he did on YouTube showing these crazy tics and perhaps
spasms
even
and
seizures,
spastic behavior
Hillary Clinton's having, and perhaps that's the reason she's not doing a press conference, because she gets triggered by having too many people ask her questions at once. I don't know what's going on there. I think it's the demon inside her trying to get out.
Well, she's being hidden. They realize that the best thing is to keep her off out of the spotlight altogether and shine the spotlight and give the worst spin possible on everything that Donald Trump
does. She's certainly not out of the spotlight. I mean, she's giving these appearances, but she's not being put through the pressure cooker like Trump is.
Yeah, she certainly is not being reported on like Trump is. Trump has got to drop his blind dog in the smokehouse instincts of snapping at every provocation that comes down the path. Let somebody on your staff like Paul Manafort or Ivanka or Eric or Donald Jr. deal with the Kazir Khans in the future. But, you know, look, when all is said and done, at the end of the day, as they say in English soccer parlance and whatnot, it comes down to Hillary versus Trump. And Trump, whatever flaws you think he may have, who is in their right mind does not think that he is far superior to Hillary Clinton. And in just about every category, including intelligence.
Well, here's the thing. So if you get something out of left field, let's just say this would really be out of left field, but that the WikiLeaks documents that are still forthcoming are just so damning that they have to indict her. That's a very slim. I know. But let's just say there's that, or she is having health issues and she succumbs. Something miraculous like that would be one thing, but still, barring something really unprecedented, Trump still has these debates, and he still has the time to make up a single-digit gap. It's a single-digit gap.
Well, look, I don't trust the polls anyway.
I understand that.
The polls are run by leftists, and they're reported on by leftists, and they are interpreted by leftists. So don't put your faith in those things. Quite frankly, I think that having the polls show Trump ahead, the Red Sea is going to part before that happens. The mainstream media will not let it, or the clown media, or whatever you want, the establishment media. They are totally in the tank for Hillary and totally in full attack mode against Donald Trump. That's going to be the subject of the third hour with Jared Taylor, but I've never seen anything like this. You know, I lived through Watergate. Watergate was the most ado about nothing I've ever seen. Richard Nixon felt compelled to send burglars in to spy on the most incompetent presidential campaign that it has existed in American history up to that point, the George McGovern campaign that lost 49 states to one. On the other hand, Hillary, with her email server, has allowed basically all the secrets of our intelligence agencies to be front and center for any halfway decent hacker that wants to get into them. And we've just seen an Iranian nuclear physicist or scientist that came over here have his cover blown by Hillary's comments, and he was hung last week. So, you know, that's maybe the first of many deaths that will come as a result of Hillary's indiscretion. But on the other hand, Richard Nixon got impeached over something of far less consequence, James. It's incredible.
Well, and we've talked about that too. But what I'm saying is, don't lose heart, ladies and gentlemen, patriots, nationalists, populists, paleoconservatives, alt-righters, whatever you prefer to identify as, and these terms aren't mutually exclusive, as we've established, but don't lose heart. It would be a setback, and I talked about this last week. I don't have the emotional connection to the Trump campaign as I did the Buchanan campaign, but let's not kid ourselves. It's a setback if he loses. I questioned if whether or not America even deserves a white knight to come in. But it's all about the Supreme Court. It's all about the Supreme Court. Do we deserve to have anybody come in and save us from our ignorance and our bread and circus?
And quite frankly, if Hillary gets in and makes the appointments she's bound to make in the Supreme Court, it's over. Stick a fork in us, people. We're done.
Well, it will be our last chance to resuscitate America's destiny through the existing system this election is. A quick final word on that after the break, and then we're going to talk about the Olympics.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
A coalition of LGBT pressure groups headed by a well-funded celebrity PR group called Athlete Ally is lobbying the Big 12 Collegiate Athletic Conference not to admit BYU during its scheduled expansion, insisting that the privately owned religious school is guilty of discrimination by requiring students to follow a strict honor code dealing with, among other matters, sexual conduct. As organizations committed to ending homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia both on and off the field of play, we are deeply troubled by the possibility that the Mormon-owned university will be admitted into the Big 12, explained the letter to Commissioner Bob Bowlesby. Allowing BYU to join would be, quote, inconsistent with Big 12 membership values, the letter asserts. Athlete Ally also accuses BYU of violating Title IX by being an institution that openly discriminates against transgender students. Nothing in the text of Title IX designates so-called transgender people as a specially protected class. BYU's athletic director replied in a news release that LGBT players, coaches, and fans are always welcome to the BYU campus. Everyone should be treated with respect, dignity, and love. At issue is the school's honor code, which strictly forbids students to engage in extramarital intimate relations. The novel social arrangement called same-sex marriage is not recognized as valid by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which owns and operates the university. Students of either sex, any orientation, or any of the apparently endless number of self-designated gender identities who engage in premarital sex can face expulsion from the school. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so we just got a notification on that brand new Twitter. I don't know if we've mentioned it yet tonight that we're on Twitter now, but one of our followers has sent us an article from USA Today. And the app maker of Zip founder, has widely different results from what we're seeing in the polls, and it predicts that Trump will win this election. So we'll link to that. We'll put that story up so we can get a little more information.
Thank
about
you very
that.
Much. See, we've got a network everywhere. I mean, we've got our man in Havana. We've got our man in Casablanca. We've got them everywhere.
Well,
thank you so much.
I'm just saying, even if you do believe the polls, and for argument's sake, they could be true. I mean, look at the number the media has done on Trump since the Democratic convention. All right, and we just had our network owner confirm the story as well that we just made mention of. But even if you believe the polls, even if Trump is down single digits, some of them have as much as 10, but most of them are in the 4 to 7 point range. Look, that's easy to overcome that. It's easy for him to overcome that, particularly when
and
you have
see,
these
I don't
debates.
Believe him a bit. I don't give them a bit of credibility because I know what the establishment media is like. They've just been waiting for this opportunity. They're going to unload with both barrels relentlessly until the election on November, the 8th or whatever.
Is it true what you told me at lunch a couple of weeks ago that Reagan was down big in the polls a week before Carter's?
I think it was a month before, but he was 25 points down, supposedly, and was, you know, he was at the bottom of the ocean like the Titanic, no chance to get up, and he goes ahead and wins the election, and wins it pretty big. And then in his reelection,
he won 51 states against Dukakis.
I didn't know we had that many states. We had 50 states. I think he won 49, just like the McGovern loss to Nixon. But it was
correct.
It's absolutely incredible, the alternative universe that the left lives in. And I don't think they live in it. I don't think they're duped themselves. I think that they are intentionally misleading the American public.
All right. So the fact of the matter is, if Hillary doesn't have a nervous breakdown or
a spasm,
if she doesn't go
go nutsoid on stage,
if she doesn't go to prison, still plenty of time for Trump to win this outright. But I would say this, what to do if Trump should lose the election? Richard Spencer wrote this week, and I couldn't have said it better myself. This is what he wrote. What happens if Trump loses is less important than how we react to it and understand what happens. If Trump loses, we should recognize that, and I said just a moment ago, actually, it is a setback, but then also recognize the amazing advances we've made over the last year and a half. Now, that can't be taken away. That's very real, very tangible. We can't invest everything, he writes, in Trump. Remember, Trump is just a politician. Our ideas are bigger than he is. And remember, another problem could arise if Trump wins. Let's say he cucks out and disappoints us all. We can't continue to believe or to be his cheerleading section. In fact, we've got to push him, maybe even oppose him should he win. So that's all good stuff to stay grounded and to have a very even keel about this come what may. Our ideas, our mission, our movement continues no matter what happens in November.
Well, what this election has done is allowed the world and particularly the Republican Party to see what their base really thinks and what values they really hold. There's this guy named Ari Volk, I think it was, or Vox, who wrote an article that we were discussing a couple of weeks ago. He was so discouraged because he said the Republican base is racially aware. He calls them white supremacists. He said that they are driven by populism, nationalism, and white supremacy. Well, you know, let's knock out the pejorative white supremacy. They may be racial realists, and I think that's a good thing. It's always good to be grounded in reality rather than fantasy. But basically, this small cabal of neoconservative Jews that have been calling the shots since George H.W. Bush got into the White House. Remember, he said he was going to usher in a kinder, gentler America. He also came right out of the closet about the New World Order that he wanted to establish and wanted America to lead, or at least being, you know, at least at the first table. This is not the wish of the people that vote Republican. The people that vote Republican have chosen their candidate, Donald Trump. They believe in isolationism, again, another big pejorative term. They believe in nationalism. They believe in America first. They believe in enforcing the borders. They believe in having safe streets and having police protection that is effective. And they are not countercultural social justice warriors like the left. And basically, the Republican Party is going to have to adapt to the wishes of its base, or else they're going to go the way of the Whigs, James.
All right. I can't disagree with anything you say, Keith, as usual. But I would like to talk briefly about the Olympics. The Olympics are in full tilt right now. And there's all these articles about how they're not going according to plan. There's disaster after disaster. Who would imagine if you put it in the third world sinkhole of Rio de Janeiro that things could go wrong? Number one, Rio de Janeiro is in a very deep depression right now, and they've sunk billions of dollars into these structures, these stadiums, these housing communities that will never be used again. And that's number one. Number two, they can't even keep the water in the swimming pools blue because they've run out of chemicals. You go in, the athletes in Olympic Village are going into unfinished dorms. There's a place where a sink should be, but there's just a hole that you can see down the floor. There's no sink. One of the
What does this show, James? I'll tell you what it shows.
Go ahead. And so much more.
What it shows is the fallacy of the left of one world. And that everything is the same. All cultures are the same. All nations are the same. All people are the same. We're just like soybeans. You can take a white person from America and substitute for them a black person from Zimbabwe, and they all think the same. They all have the same intelligence. They all have the same capabilities, all of this type of stuff. Well, as they said in Porgy and Bess, it ain't necessarily so. And we're getting an object lesson in that. By one, the World Cup that they had in South Africa, which was, you know, they narrowly averted disaster in that several times. And then this Olympic Games held in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And you are, what it brings into focus is the difference between the first world and the rest of the world. You know, the first world is where people want to be. The first world needs to be the example. And the left and the one worlders and the globalists want us to descend to third world status ourselves so their goal of equality throughout the planet can be achieved. The only way they can achieve that is by making nations like the United States and Europe's nations descend into third world hellholes. What we've always said is that you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. So they're going to cause America, Australia, New Zealand, all of Europe to become non-white. That's the secret, that's the dirty little secret behind open borders. That's what they want, and they're doing it to further their globalist agenda. But we can see from the problems they're having in Rio de Janeiro a snapshot of how badly this will all work out if they are successful.
Well, and getting back to some of the things, the calamities, the NBA players from other countries are staying in Olympic Village. Of course, ours are too privileged to do that. They're staying on a luxury cruise liner. But I saw Andrew Bogut, who played for the Golden State Warriors last year. He was having to put together his own shower curtain because it was going to flood otherwise. So it's just a complete disaster, as you probably would expect. And people are going out on the beach. Tourists are down there. They're going out the beach. They're getting robbed. And this is there for all the world to see.
All the dysfunction that you would associate with Detroit, Michigan is happening in Rio de Janeiro right now. Thanks to the blind faith that our fearless leaders have in the globalist vision, which is that everybody is the same and everybody has the same capability.
You made a quick observation about men's gymnastics yesterday that I thought was pretty astute. Go.
Well, men's gymnastics, you're hearing all about women's gymnastics. And, of course, it has the Rainbow Coalition up there. The U.S. team does. They finally accomplished what they're after. But where are the men's? I don't see any men's coverage. Well, the reason you don't is because men's gymnastic programs have been sacrificed on the altar of political correctness, specifically Title IX, which says that you have to have the same number of women's scholarships as you have for men. And, of course, men have to contend with the fact that college football takes up 85 scholarships because it's a violent game which has a lot of injuries and they need a lot of spare parts. So what do they do to equal things out? They got rid of men's gymnastic programs, and we're not developing the men's gymnasts that we used to and have the talent to do because of political correctness.
Quick couple of minutes on the Olympics. You're watching it. A lot of people are talking about it. We won't spend a lot of time, but that's just some off-the-cuff, quick observations. We'll be back with other stuff right after this.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You got to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought. We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, we have one more segment with Keith Alexander this evening before we switch over to our featured guest of the evening. For the entire third hour with us, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance. He's going to be breaking down his most recent article for Amren.com entitled Trump and the Atmosphere of Hate. Jared and I will break that apart coming up in the third hour. But first, we're going to let Keith hold court for a few minutes here and talk about a story that he's brought in from the local newspaper right here in Memphis. Story on it's from today's paper, Saturday, August 13th. The local section B, page one, above the fold, headline, protest planned for Elvis Vigil Night. So if you don't know, Elvis passed away in August, and so every year we have an Elvis Week here in Memphis in August, and, well, Keith will fill you in on what's going to happen, or at least what's planned to happen this year.
Okay. In the Elvis religion, there are two high holy days. One is Elvis's birth date, January the 8th, and the other is Elvis's death date, which is August the 16th. And we get people from all over the world who come to Memphis. I was at my barber's today, and my barber is a distant relative of Elvis. And he told me that he knows a man that he sees every year, a plumber from Poland, who comes over. And that's his vacation every year. He either comes to the Elvis death day or the Elvis birthday celebration. And they're both equally big. Graceland has just opened this humongous new hotel and convention center, visitor center, next door to Graceland, which was Elvis's home, has over 500 rooms in it. And it is the one legitimate tourist attraction that we have in Memphis. Well, they tried to manufacture and gin up other ones, but they had abject failures. The only thing that really, you know, grew up spontaneously and has a incredibly loyal following. You know, that Muslims go to Mecca maybe once in their life. Very devout ones might go several times in their lives. People that follow this crazy Elvis religion, they are, you know, they come every year from all over the planet to go and, you know, pay their respects and to get together with like-minded people. So he was the king. Right, absolutely. Memphis's homegrown talent. And guess what? Who's going to shine a baleful shadow on this whole thing and try to use it for extortion? None other than the local chapter of Black Lives Matter. And protest plan for Elvis Night Vigil. In flyer, concerned citizen group issues call to shut down Graceland. In other words, they're going to try to destroy the one bright spot in the ghetto known as Whitehaven. I grew up in Whitehaven. In fact, I grew up less than a half a mile from Graceland. But they're going to try to destroy this by flooding the vigil with anti-Elvis, anti-Elvis follower, Black Lives Matter, Antifa people. And they're threatening to do this, and I'm sure money is involved. They want Elvis Presley Enterprises to pay them a bunch of money. If Elvis Presley Enterprises is foolish enough to do that, then it will be a continuous extortion racket twice a year where they have to pay money to keep these unwashed masses from coming in here and ruining the celebration. If they cause enough trouble, the word is going to get around and people will stop coming, flocking to Graceland in Memphis twice a year. And I mean, we get thousands upon thousands of tourists in here, and it's incredible. But this is Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter now insists that they don't know how they make money off of Elvis, but black people ain't getting enough of it. And if black people don't get it, it's going to be hell to pay. This is the reasoning of the, you know, of the left. Basically, if there's money out there, they don't want to see anyone who is better off than they are or has more money than they do. And if they do, no justice, no peace, and we're going to, you know, bring the whole house down.
Keith, if necessary. All right, we're grabbing a mic here. We were switching out some mics during that segment, and now we're back, so continue on with your commentary.
Well, that's it in a nutshell. This is what is happening in Memphis. This is Black Lives Matter. They're going to try to do things like this, I'm sure, all over the country. Wherever there is money, and it's a predominantly white phenomenon, they're going to intrude themselves into the festivities and say, where's our cut? You know, so this is the true character of the Black Lives Matter movement. It is not about police killings. It's about economic equity, as they call it, across the board. They do not want there to be any difference in the net wealth of the black community and the net wealth of the white community. They don't want black people, regardless of their talents, education, or whatever, to not be equal in all ways. The idea of being equal in terms of rights before the sovereign, but not equal in everyday reality, like where do I live, what does my wife look like, how much money do I make, what type of job do I have, that's way too abstract for the people that populate Black Lives Matter. They want total equality in every respect, and if they don't have it, it's going to be hell to pay, James.
Well, and as we'll remember, just about a month ago, the Black Lives Matter crowd took over the Hernando de Soto Bridge, which is a very iconic landmark here in Memphis.
And a very important artery for commerce. That's where all the truck traffic from middle America, from the West Coast to the East Coast and back, it all funnels through that bridge.
Well, you're talking about it's I-40. It's Interstate 40, the major thoroughfare, and Memphis is America's distribution center. And
they proved they're in control of it.
And they blocked the bridge. They blocked the bridge for 6 hours, stranding motorists on Interstate 40, a major artery spanning the east-west of America. They blocked it for 6 hours. The police coddled them. They didn't make a single arrest. They finally bribed them to come off. And then the mayor met with them to see what more he could do for them. Not one arrest. Everybody on that bridge that was not in an automobile should have been arrested and taken to jail on the spot. You cannot block a major interstate for any reason.
But, of course, they were intoxicated with that success, and it was a double embarrassment to the leadership of Memphis because there were these photographs taken of the mayor, who is white, and the police chief, or the acting police chief, who is now, at the insistence of Black Lives Matter, become the permanent police chief, who is black, posing for photographs with the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement here locally, and it turns out that all these leaders had multiple warrants outstanding, so they're up here hugging and playing cozy and nice with all these.
And I can't believe that, because the people that I saw marching on that bridge had the Pan-African Liberation flag, they had the Muslim Crescent Moon. I'm just shocked that any of those would be anything less than law-abiding. I mean,
religious individual.
Forgetting the fact that they're breaking a law, a pretty big one, by blocking interstate traffic. But besides that, yeah, you would just think they were hardworking family people.
Well, they of course are motivated by all the right reasons, which is the way that the left always portrays themselves. But the reality is, this is a bunch of scum, okay? This is, the bottom of the barrel, not, as Grandma used to say, from the top dresser drawer. But the portrayal is just the opposite. These are people, you know, that are pure and holy, who burn with a gem-like flame, and they are totally in the right, and any opposition is totally mendacious and wrong, and anyone that would try to clear them from the bridge is the modern equivalent of Bull Connor at Birmingham at the Selma Bridge incident.
Well, that's right. I mean, because if you enforce laws against protected minorities, you are therefore a racist. And basically any law that they don't like, if they're protesting, is in fact a nullified law.
Well, there's one exception. If you're a black policeman and you try to enforce law, you're an Uncle Tom. Okay.
Yeah, they don't like that. Yeah, but they don't like them either. And of course, half the people, believe, in the Freddie Gray incident were black, and God bless them for doing their job there. But yeah, they didn't get spared particularly for their race just because they were also police officers. But nevertheless, so bottom line is we had a little flare up with the Black Lives Matter crowd in Memphis a few weeks ago. Now
They're feeling their oats.
That's right. They
feel
emboldened.
They're going on to bigger and better things.
And they should feel emboldened. They were absolutely coddled and excused by the local media, the local police, and the local government. So why wouldn't they press their luck and double down?
Yeah, they're going to Elvis, and they're going to make the cash register ring. They plan on turning this into a paying avocation. To heck with rights, show us the money, like Jerry Maguire said, right?
I can't say it's only in Memphis, but
I mean, but we're laughing about it because otherwise you'd cry about it. This is what American society has come to today. As Ann Coulter so presciently said years ago, where in the world has diversity existed where it has not been anything other than a huge problem? Well, this is one of the huge problems, folks.
Well, and Jared Taylor's coming up in the next segment for the third hour, and I believe he put it this way, and I've used this myself. The history of race relations can be summed up in one word, conflict, and that's true, too. And as I always say, we're all God's children. I hope that every race and ethnicity lives well and prospers, but to force people in the same living space when they have different cultures, language, heroes, traditions, religions, etc., is just asking for trouble, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, they're just going to whip up a friend. They've whipped into an inconsolable frenzy.
Keith, thank you for being with us for the first 2 hours. 1 hour still to come, and Jared Taylor will be with us for that. We'll be right back.
Right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.